we'll try to get all media jobs.
And in addition to the forum that we're doing, we're also taking notes about any of the comments that we hear tonight. So we're hearing what you have to say tonight as well. And we'll have written reports from each of these groups also. So tonight is another night that you can give input. Thanks.
Tell me when you're ready. Okay. It's 6:28, so we're given about 20-25 minutes. So by 6:30, we hopefully will be somewhat wrapping up. And then it's up to you if you want to field questions during this or do you want to have them held until the end. What should you
do? I guess they're probably easiest just to do it during.
Okay. So if you have questions, just ask and then they'll field the questions. So you have until 6:30, 25 minutes, or 6:55-ish, something like that.
There you go. You ready now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Tom Leach was going to do this presentation tonight, but he had a detached retina, I believe, so I'm filling in for him, and hopefully I can answer your questions. I was sitting in the meeting, so I hope I'll be able to answer any questions you might have. But what I'll do is I'll just go through the list of questions, the actual question, and then talk about what we answered in regards to that question. The first one was, what is the existing attendance each Sunday for each service, if more than one? Of course, we only have one right now. And we approximated that attendance to be around 165 to 185 each week. Next question was, state the existing seating capacity, and we figured the seating capacity to be approximately 230, which includes the choir loft. To help accommodate growth in worship, would multiple services be considered, or is there a desire to maintain only one Sunday morning worship service? And our discussion on that was multiple services would be considered to accommodate growth rather than build another building at this time. And we talked about whether to consider renovation of the sanctuary or have an overflow room with TV screen for viewing the service. Now, past pros and cons for the earlier service, you know, having two services, when we tried having two services in the past, the pros were a larger majority of new people attended the earlier service. Now, the cons were that staffing is a problem, and tighter time constraints on the sermon, the service, etc. And a lot of those new people actually left when we went back to one service. So those were the pros and cons to two services that we discussed. So that was the first question. Any comments in regards to that?
You guys lean one way or the other?
Towards two services or not? That kind of answered in the next question. And I'll go on that one. It says, please state the desired seating capacity for worship in the next 15 or 20 years, exclusive of the choir, in one worship service. So what kind of capacity would we want a building to be if we were going to have one service? The number 300 was thrown out at first, but agreed on 400. Now we're talking 15, 20 years down the road, but 400 was an amount that we came up with. We could then split the two services to be able to accommodate everyone in the meantime while necessary until we built another building. So we kind of went back to that, the two services. Yeah, this past Sunday was a real good example, and I really appreciate it. I'm not going to go on a rabbit trail, but this kind of, I think, will lead into it. You know, we were asked as ushers to be out there and to really kind of congregate around, and if it got really crowded, to go in and help find a seat. And that really worked because we had two families who came in and the place was really packed. And you could tell they were uncomfortable. This was their first time coming. And I came in, found a spot, and was able to lead it to them. And one lady was saying, "Don't put me at the front. Don't put me at the front." And so that was a case of where they came in after the service, 10 minutes after the service had started. They may have just turned around and gone back out looking in the door, felt very uncomfortable about coming in. So we were pretty close to capacity, isn't the number of people you have in here. I mean, if this place will hold 230, that doesn't necessarily mean that's capacity, what was the percentage that, about 80% of that people consider capacity because of passive comfort level. Well, there's Tom. I didn't see. I'm glad you're doing better.
Hey, Tom?
Yeah.
On that said, it's a good thing since there's quite a few here that's here on Sunday. They go in and sit down and have everybody move towards the center.
Right. Yeah, I had to ask a few people to move over and, at that time. But that was really a good thing that we implemented because it really worked in that situation. I saw it firsthand, how it helped that person feel more comfortable if somebody came in, found the seat, and then directed them to that. So that was a good thing. These are kind of some of the things that we're moving towards.
Someone does ask a question, if you could just repeat it, so that way those who are listening, they will know what that question is.
All right. So we're saying we could split to two services to be able to accommodate everyone while necessary until we build another building. Everyone agreed we didn't want to become a mega church. That was not the goal. We certainly don't want to turn people away, but we're not wanting to have a 3,000 member church here.
What kind of staffing would be necessary to have
Kind of
church congregation twice the size of what we currently have?
The question was what kind of staffing numbers will we need to be able to handle a church congregation of that size of around 400? Aaron, I'll let you answer that. I have no idea.
What was the question?
Thank you for paying attention. What type of staffing would we need if we did have 300-400 people here on a regular basis?
I do think you would have to have at that point, maybe administrative pastor that would be able to do a lot of the administrative stuff that is needed.
So administrative pastor?
I think you need three.
Three pastors.
I'm totally guessing that. That's just my guess. In terms of affording it, I think that's where you would have to be if you could afford six more.
Right.
But I think 300-400 with that amount of people and families and they need pastor and all those things. Maybe a couple of interns to fill in some
walls
there.
Yeah, that's right. We need full-time office. Full-time. Yeah, full-time. Since making comment, we need a full-time office person out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right, the next question, does the church desire its congregational seating to be arranged in a somewhat communal or family of worshipers arrangement, for example, in a semicircular arrangement, or would we desire a more traditional seating arrangement similar to what we have right here where it's more of a rectangular, straight on like that? And the consensus of the group at that time was our seating arrangement preference in a new building would be more of a semicircular, octagonal-like arrangement. Any comments?
I know I'm not a member of the church, but I've been visiting here for a while, and I understand the concept of wanting to get more people to the church, involved in the church. But I will be very honest, one thing that drew me to this church was it wasn't a huge church.
Right.
It was very family-oriented and, music-based. I might not remember the name, but you knew the people.
Right.
So I just want to comment that was a very important thing as far as where I was coming from. I wasn't looking for a huge church. I wanted more community
healing
church.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the consensus of what everybody felt in that. What she was saying was that what attracted her to this church was that family feel, that smaller feel, and where she could create relationships and get to know the other people. And I think that's what we're going to try to create. And again, I'm not the spokesman for the group, and I'm just trying to say what was coming out of our meeting, and that was just simply that we're in agreement with you. We're not out, but we certainly want to be in a situation where we can accommodate some growth. But if it got to a certain stage, then it would be more of a case of maybe we look at being more of helping to plant churches and things like that. The next question is, if a larger worship space is needed, would it be desirable to renovate the existing sanctuary for a new purpose? Meaning, if we built another building, would we just renovate this building for a new purpose and add a new, larger sanctuary? And that was, if a larger space is needed, we decided we would want to build a new sanctuary and renovate the existing sanctuary for a completely different purpose, you know, to make better use of this building. So that was, and again, this is simply a discussion. It's not anything that we're making concrete and definite decisions. It was just simply to sit here and think what, and this is where we're calling some outside people to help, is just to simply have a discussion about possibilities.
You know, we have to keep in mind that projected for about 15 to 20.
Correct.
So it's not the immediate.
Exactly. Could be sooner, or could be more than 15 to 20, but yeah, we're trying to move forward in that regards.
Any discussions on a Saturday night service?
The question was, any discussions on a Saturday night service? And that, I don't believe that actually came up, but it's something that certainly, you know, could be part of future thoughts and things on that. We're just trying to determine at what point would it be necessary to have to. And we don't want to try to hold off on that until we do have a situation where we can handle some of the cons that we have and be, you know, the people to handle music and different things like that. Fifth question was, please state the desired seating capacity of the choir area and if expansion is desired. And our desired seating capacity for the choir area would be around 45 if expanding, is what we came up with. The next one was, is the current platform of adequate size for the worship activities which take place there currently? And our current platform, this area up here, is adequate for our current activities. Would the existing platform accommodate any growth in worship and or music activities? And it was discussed that the existing platform would accommodate growth in worship and or music. And we've got 18 here, so I'll try to move along. And I'll say, if you do have a question, I'm going to take that. But if I'm talking about something and you've got an immediate question, just raise your hand and I'll stop. Otherwise, I'll just go to the next question. Should the choir area accommodate a parlor grand piano or an upright piano? And it was a quick response to that, a grand piano. And what other instruments should the choir area accommodate? It was mentioned guitar, violin, harp, flute. Will instruments and singers for a praise band need to be accommodated on the platform on a weekly or occasional basis? And we answered yes. If so, describe what instruments and how many voices. We discussed keyboard, guitar, percussion, and a bass, and probably about four singers if there was a praise band, for a total of about eight people. Does the praise band need to be set up at the same time as the choir? And the answer to that was no. Next question was, does the church desire the choir to be located in front, to one side, or centered with the chancel? Or should the choir be located as a section of seating or located possibly in a rear balcony area? We felt the choir should be positioned up front and center, but did say we would possibly consider a balcony. I think in the balcony they didn't really want to feel like they were, it was high church or they were sitting up high, so was the thing we discussed there. What other activities or presentations will occur within the chancel area of the sanctuary other than regular weekly worship music? And just some ideas that was thrown out were VBS, recitals, weddings, funerals, missions conferences, fifth Sunday night scenes, Christian school graduations, Christmas programs, gatherings, Easter sunrise services, and women's meetings. And a lot of those are happening right now, so we just wanted to make sure that this area of the sanctuary would have room to be able to do those. I have actually looked up the meaning of this one. Are any anti-rooms needed near the sanctuary for preparation? That's a room off to the side. Sorry, I didn't understand. I know what that was, but I was doing my Webster's on the way up here and checking it out. But such as for choir rooming, ministerial, vesting, groom, wedding party, we all agree that anti-rooms are needed near the sanctuary for all the reasons listed and more. These rooms should remain free from clutter and not be used as storage areas. The next question is a bride's room desired? Yes. And can an existing or future parlor be used as a bride's area? Yes. If so, could this room serve a dual purpose, such as a classroom or a meeting room? And the answer to that one was yes. Is a vestry, sacristy, flower room needed? And yes on that as well. Please describe the needs within the choir rehearsal space. And it was discussed that choir does need their own separate space to rehearse, and how many choir members should be accommodated now and 15 to 20 years in the future. And that kind of ties in with what we were saying earlier. Currently, there's around 30 members. Anticipate it could possibly grow to 45 down the road in 15 to 20 years. Will other groups need to rehearse in this space? Or a different space, children's choirs, male choirs, praise band, etc. Yes, other groups can rehearse in the same space. Groups such as children's choirs and male choirs, praise bands need to rehearse in the sanctuary, not the choir room, because of the sound hookups needed. Any comments on that? Are the robing rooms desired for changing or for hanging the robes only? A robing room for and their answer to that was a robing room for hanging only, space for the future. Please describe space needed for music storage. Should it be located directly within a choir rehearsal room or a dedicated room? The answer to that was a choir would prefer built-ins for music storage and prefer them to be located in a choir room similar to what we have now. All right. Will the service be videotaped? Just like it is now, yes, as well as on the internet. Televised, probably not. Will video projector presentations occur? Yes. Please describe these or any other needs within an audio, video, lighting control booth or area. And we have Robert as part of that, and he was saying it would be great to have a completely separate control booth for audio and video lighting, and that would be real helpful. Yes, please. Oh, if there was an auction, you would have bought something. And then it's called.
All right.
So. All right. How many people and or what percentage of people in the worship service does the narthex need to accommodate? We were unsure of how to fully answer this question because it's contingent on the various activities and functions we wanted to have take place there. So the next question was, what other functions may or should occur within the narthex or gathering space, i.e. Info, Welcome Center, books, media, gathering, coffee, ministry, collection, etc.? Answer to that, some functions of the narthex could be for greeting family members and guests at, say, funerals, fellowshipping pre- and post-worship services. Also a place to have welcome information, books, media, etc. Possibly have refreshments there, a small separate space, rooms for speaking for more private conversations. And this is kind of a discussion as we're moving forward to a new building, because we already have a lot of that already. Next, getting here towards the end, the next one is a choir room desired near the sanctuary? Yes. We currently have the nursery close by, but we need one for a future building. Does the church name Share Memorial Presbyterian Church adequately describe who we are. And 14 of our 19 people voted and think that we did not think the church name completely adequately described who we are. However, many said they did not want to completely change the name, but possibly drop Memorial from the name. And definitely add PCA to become maybe Share Presbyterian Church in America, as an example. Any comments there? Okay, last one. What additional programs and information would you like to suggest for consideration? And no one group had anything else to add to that, so I would open that up to you if there's what additional programs and information would you like to suggest for consideration? I'm done. All right.
Sunday school facilities? We said yes. However, Depending on growth and possible programs that might be created, for example, a preschool, more facilities might be needed. If we did need to double up on our space, we would have to have a committee that would figure out the details of how this would work so that materials were not being overlapped and misused. Any questions? Is a place needed for books, resources, and media? What activities might occur here? Where would it be best located? We weren't completely sure how to answer this question. We thought we would need to know who the library would be for because of all of the technology and media that we have. We weren't sure how many people would actually use a room filled with books, as most people typically think of a library. We weren't sure how many members and visitors would seek out research and books versus going online to look up and order books themselves. We did say that a media room could be useful for storing large groups of books for Bible studies. That this room would also have to be organized, and someone would need to be in charge of determining what types of books would be donated or used or stored. Question 7, will weekday programs for senior adults be provided? If so, what kind of programs? We would like to continue Hugs and Loves, but so far it has not been as successful as we hoped it would be. Some suggestions that the group came up with were senior luncheons, a support group for those with Alzheimer's, and an increase in our shut-in ministries. It was suggested that we could hire a retired minister to be in charge of senior ministries. Question?
Would that be a volunteer? Retired minister? Would that be on a volunteer basis, or would that be okay?
Either. What types of educational storage are needed? The attic needs to be organized! Exclamation point. But we also need a storage room that is centrally located in terms of over where the classrooms are. There needs to be a room specifically to hold the extra crayons, the extra markers, extra curriculum, so that the Sunday school teachers have a place nearby to go and grab whatever they're missing or that they run out, like construction paper and things like that. And that would probably be something that would need to be addressed before new buildings were built. That's an immediate desire. Are or will computer projectors be used in classrooms? Is this needed? Our group decided that we would like to see Wi-Fi and TVs in every room, even the small children rooms. We would like to see easier access to music in the classrooms in the nursery, as there's currently no stereo or no way to play music in any of those rooms, and that's a very important role of educating children. We suggested that it might be useful to have speakers in which phones could be plugged into, instead of buying stereos. We would once again need a committee to head up how and where to implement this technology. Okay, so the church name adequately describes who we are. We had a split decision on this. Some are yes and some are no. What additional programs and information would you like to suggest? We feel like we suggested, made all of our suggestions throughout the previous questions. Please state desired seating capacity. We said no more than 500, preferably less than 500 in the sanctuary. That's all I've got.
You guys are education?
Yes.
Worship's another admin and
fellowship.
Fellowship outreach, okay.
Thank you. I was in the committee with administration and site questionnaire, but Richard Payne was supposed to present this, so I'm kind of stepping in his absence. So if anybody that was in the committee member has anything else to say about my answers, I'd love your input. Our first question was, list job and brief job description of present staff members and those expected in the future, full-time staff and volunteer staff. Our current staff, as you know, is senior pastor Aaron Morgan, associate pastor Alan Wiley, secretary Cindy Davis, Sexton Butch Davis, music director Wolfgang Rock, and pianist Luke McDowell. Currently, we have an average Sunday attendance of about 165 people. With hope of growing our church, additional staff would be needed. Our committee discussed the possibility of adding possible staff in the future, including another assistant pastor, a pastor of concern, and an outreach minister that may or may not be non-pastoral. Describe the space needed for each staff member, office space, office and counseling, or office and small meetings. Our committee discussed the current staff's workspace and decided that the senior pastor's office is okay. The associate pastor's office is small and narrow. We feel the pastor's rooms need to have adequate area for counseling. Cindy's office is okay, but she has expressed the need of having it organized to better maximize and use the space. The exterior office space we found to be adequate. What equipment will be needed to accommodate in the different areas? Committee decided that what we currently have is adequate. That is an adequate question. I don't know. So on to the next one.
With that, I think we also discussed the need to have internet access to their additional equipment.
Right.
And as staff comes on board, you're going to have to upgrade equipment and stuff like that. So, I mean,
and with technology always changing, computers, you know, the wireless, everything we use, that's a continual growth and expansion for everything, I believe. What additional administrative storage space is needed? Our committee decided that it was possibly adequate currently, but needs to be redesigned. A huge immediate need is a bigger fireproof safe. The current safe has inadequate storage area and the locking mechanisms are not secure. The committee decided to discuss a safe room or designated area for church history, storage, and access, among other things that need to be kept in a fireproof safe. We discussed the need to have the church history books that are still able to go and look at, you know, in the paper form, in the book form, and those do take up a big space in the fireproof safe. But we need one that has like sections where things could be stored, like history and whatever else we put in there that needs to be secured and fireproof. Is there a need for fireproof and theft-proof storage? Again, the committee agreed that we have a serious and an immediate need of a large safe that is fireproof and theft-proof. We also discussed possibly having a safe area that the safe was located, that like the history books could be looked at in that area and just put back so that there was no problems of anything missing or being damaged. Do you have any more to say about that? Number six, describe the need for a church historical collection. Again, the fireproof safe, you know, that goes in. We did discuss the need of keeping that and having people be able to easily access it. Describe the activities that will occur in the workroom. Printing, mailing, assembling bulletins, etc. The committee discussed the need of a color printer that is also capable of using 11 by 17 inch paper, which was also an immediate desire. I know a lot of our things are having to be sent out to be printed and put together because the printer is not adequate to do that, and it's not, it's very expensive for the ink. Is the conference session room adjacent to the area desire. How many people should it accommodate? Could this room serve a dual use, such as a classroom, etc.? What technology support should be available? The committee assessed that it is adequate for most uses. Currently, the conference room in the educational building will hold about 30 people, but it's at its maximum accommodation and is being used at maximum capacity for some activities. Internet access is needed desperately in the educational building, but I understand we are currently working on getting that taken care of. 9 and 10, then we kind of put these together. This is probably where I'm looking for some help. It says, what are the present utilities, gas, oil, city water, city sewer, and do you have recommendations regarding utilities? We do have gas in the building. It says the storage tank size of the well was adequate. The septic system is okay, but if and when we grow, we'll probably need to hook up city water and sewer. It was discussed that we could possibly be forced to due to building and zoning laws, and we discussed the consideration of a hybrid unit for the next water heating unit when it needs to be replaced. Jerry, do you have anything more to say about the utilities?
A hybrid unit would be for the heat and air conditioner.
I'm sorry, for the heating and air conditioner would be for the hybrid unit.
The water heater and the kitchen was not adequate. It didn't function correctly. That needs to be looked at.
And the water heater in the kitchen was not adequate. It didn't function correctly. The committee agreed that parking is very inadequate. We also discussed encouraging members that are physically able to park in the back to allow parking availability for guests and visitors in the front. We discussed the availability to temporarily use the new area purchased for parking, which Sunday it looked like a lot of people were doing that, so that probably can encourage others to park over there too. And then using the back parking lot and parking at the funeral home when that space is available.
Can I just follow up on that?
Please.
I went to an M&A seminar where the guy said the main parking lot is full.
Okay. Kevin, hold on a second.
I'm not laughing.
Yeah.
I hate
the people of in-person will come in and will circle the parking lot once, maybe twice, and then they'll leave. I didn't really believe that until I was out there one day and saw a car circling once before I could get out there without the thing being gone. So if you can and you're able, we need to have empty spaces out front. I know that's hard because people feel like parking space is just like the view. I got it like that. Whatever we can do for that would be nice. So people will not come in and park on us. Well, the same thing is if you're 80% full, then crowded here. So, my
also, if I want to get kind of a consensus here, if we were to go and those two main roads right there for the spray paint visitor on every single one of those, would you guys still park there? If we had like detectors that would pop your tire in?
This is just a question because it happened one time this summer. Have we gotten any, are we catching any flack from funeral home for parking there? Because I know at least once this summer there was a funeral, you know, like 12 o'clock on Sunday. And when I came out, I normally park over there. Their parking lot was completely full. And then, of course, we were taking up some space. So I didn't know whether we're being a good neighbor or not if we continue to assume we can use their parking lot.
Yeah, as far as I know, our relationship is really well and tight, and we're good there. Sometimes, yes, Gary.
I remember correctly, they didn't get the field there without that cut through. So we, as I understand it, we've got a written agreement that we share parking spaces. When they have an overflow there, they divide them, and we use theirs.
Cindy, did you have something?
It's rare that there's a funeral on Sunday, but when that does happen, I guess we just, I don't know.
I do know that when they built over there, Rick and Ford had a conversation and they totally agreed this was a partnership with that task over there.
Wolfgang mentioned better signage.
And that was something we all discussed too, showing that there's parking in the back, showing that we can park in the new area here, also guest parking and more parking for the handicap, so that it is easier for those. And then something that I just thought of that I usually when it's raining, a lot of the ushers will come out and, you know, bring umbrellas out with people. That really helps to know that in case you've got your umbrella, you don't want to park, you know, right here. You'll know that somebody's hopefully bringing you out one. So that would just help, you know, maybe encourage members that are able to park in the back.
Would the congregation be fine at some level with more signage, even more specifically, like I said earlier, with the actual concrete blocks, so that way it says visitor right here? Other than we want to have parking for handicap, maybe we can put other signs that would, you know, for the elderly or, you know, I don't know what we'll do there. Grandma parking? I don't know if we'll do that. I'll let someone else make that decision.
Hey, visitor only signs. So you're
going to
put up a few more.
Visitor only?
Yeah.
And parking over here, yeah. And even on the side as well. Not when it's raining, then it's
the same. Number 12 will describe any current or anticipated security issues around the campus. Currently, there is not enough bandwidth available. Those performing security are unable to use the iPads due to the lack of available bandwidth. The streaming and uploading of services use most of that. We also discussed the need to add security cameras for the educational building. But from what I understand, we are working on the internet bandwidth, so that could possibly, oh no, just internet over there. Okay, so I guess that's another immediate desire that we work on that so that we are able to use the iPad for the security that is, you know, keeping an eye on here and then adding security cameras to the educational building as we just found out is needed. Number 13, is current signage for church campus adequate? If not, what are the current issues? We discussed the need for directional signage for parking. Many aren't aware of the back parking lot and guest visitor parking. The main sign on Highway 49 needs to be more readable, more noticeable, and more accurate to the explanation of our church. We discussed, Cindy, do you want to talk about the memorial?
Yeah.
something that came up from a brand new couple that has been visiting us just for the last 2 weeks. And one thing that she does for her living, or one for one child for living, is that she does signs, those out on the street. So, to make a long story short, they live in the back here, and she's been riding back and forth. And she saw that memorial work. She didn't know what the heck the Shiro word was. She had no clue with that one. But she couldn't even read Presbyterian Church in America on that sign because it's so dark. It's just so badly done. And but she said when she saw the memorial, knowing there was a funeral home right next door, she thought this was affiliated with that. She didn't know it was a church. And they've been looking for a Presbyterian church for a couple of months. So, and that's not the first time I've heard that. You know, between the share and the memorial, where they don't know what it is. We just cannot read Presbyterian Church in America.
Number 14, does the church name Share of Memorial Presbyterian Church adequately discuss who we are? We had pretty much unanimous no on that. A lot of people first talked about they didn't know who Cheryl was. The memorial does link it to different things. We didn't really come up with a name at the time, which didn't feel like it was the time or place, but that we talked about having some kind of reformed, the word, reformed on our signage. 15, what additional programs and information would you like to suggest for consideration? And it said the committee discussed the current use and possible future use of the church grounds to include a pool gym, a stage, more dirt resources and availability in an industrial site, and working fully functioning kitchen. Number 16 was a question that we added ourselves. The committee discussed what we as active members of the church would hope to see. We discussed that we would like to see the church sanctuary grow and be able to accommodate about 350 in average attendance in the next 10 to 15 years. I know Tom discussed 300 and then they went to 400. We did the same thing, so we went to 350 in the next 10 to 15 years. And that's all I had.
Did you guys talk about the gym currently and if it was adequate or what was the thought with the gym?
Chris, do you want to jump in on that?
Yes, we wanted to be able to. And I have something else on that. We wanted the gym to be able to hold regular games for maybe local Christian schools or just in the community to be able to have a full size gym, and then also you need space beyond the goal so that when you're running, you're not running into a brick wall. And then ideally you could share those spaces. So if you have seating on the side, like a bleacher, like pull-out seating, you could also have the stage on one half of the gym, like beyond the gym, like where the conference room is. That way you could kind of use those spaces together. You'd have to have two separate rooms. And then you could put on different skits and stuff like Vacation Bible School, things like that.
It certainly would eliminate having to decorate this space instead of having it used.
I was going to add the last committee is going to be hearing from the recreation with them. We did discuss in detail that agenda coming up.
Anything else, Shane? Any other questions? Yes, Brent? Okay, well,
it's not to do those things, I'm sorry. If you're, unless you're talking about for the attic, and I think we've all heard it, we're going to have it out there, that it needs to be, but I think one of the issues I have is safety of those stairs. People walk down there carrying stuff, I think it's a huge issue. So my question is, I'll be willing to head up or do whatever, but can we come up with another place now to put that stuff? Or, and there's a lot of it anyway, but I just, walking up and down those. And I just think it's very, I'm just curious if that's something that we could do now and not
I'm just going to repeat for the people who say no. The attic right now storage is, if it was on the first floor, it probably would work. But since it's on the second floor, it creates a liability for people going up and down, not safe. It's very, very hard to navigate around there anyway. You didn't mention this, but a simple match may clear that all out. But yeah, I didn't say that. Any other? Yeah, she said you're amazing and she wants to give you a big hug. Any other? Any other? You did, yeah.
It
really is.
There's so much stuff, there's always so much stuff.
And then if someone works here most of the time, the default is to get up again. I mean, that's just what we do. We've got to find a place for it, so we take it. Absolutely. The question is where we can put it. That's quite a bit of space, and we can probably eliminate a good amount of that because if it's up there for more than 2 years, it's not needed.
Yes,
okay. Well, there's exceptions to every rule, but I think if we have these construction, let's just take a construction act for the DBS that we had. That was like 6-7 years ago, and I think they're still out there. They just need to go to them or give them away or something. Something like that. There are some things that, yeah, there's, we should, we are saying, take the hate. That's right. Sure. Okay, any others? Robert. Oh, you're the mic guy. You got me.
I just want to say if you're upstairs and you're reorganizing, if it looks like electronics, don't go to that CV because the last time it got reorganized, somebody threw away a piece of $400 equipment. And it was probably a year old. So, just check with me or Jerry, please.
We go that route, we'll make sure that those who are charged will have a discerning spirit about them in order to move that forward. Because I think what will happen is if we have a committee of people, it's basically just going to be shuffled around in a circle and put on a shelf, but eventually be crowded. And we want to do our best to not throw away good stuff for sure. But we do need the urge, we really do. Okay, any other questions or thoughts? Okay. Our last presenter, is that you, Ben?
No, it's not.
You have something to pass out? Wonderful.
Okay,
Alan, do you want to present? I'm going to get this on and grab this on.
There's 40 there, so.
Y'all can share them.
One of our family members. That professional committee, thank you.
Have a roll over the Robinson farm. Okay, I'm going to start because what we had to talk. So thank you. You don't pick me, right? Thank you very much. It feels like it's right in my face. Yeah, come on. I've never done this. Okay, so our first task was to make a list of the activities that are used in the existing facilities of fellowship and provide the number and attendance. And there's some overlap with things y'all have mentioned already. So you can see them there. I don't necessarily need to run through them, but we have everything from weekly family night dinners, our annual and holiday dinners, special interest meetings. I know we host the Homeowners Association. We host foster care group meetings, which can get pretty big. We have the past done a Dave Ramsey course, so we have financial management classes. We host WIC Presbytery. We host the Presbytery. Y'all can see that number one and all the other things. I was just looking on the calendar the other day, and I saw we had some kind of homeschool group that meets here. Didn't know that.
there's other things out there that I probably we didn't get on the list. And some of this is overlap with education, so we realize that there's more going on, and we just try to think of everything that happens. I think probably about the biggest number that we saw there was like the missions conference weekend. I'm sorry, it looks like I'm just, okay. Okay. So missions conference weekend is probably our biggest, like, especially in the fellowship hall where we have a lot of people there. It said to have a brief description. I think we all sort of know what those things are, so we skip that. Kinds of meals that we presently serve, we have covered dish, catered, and hot meals. The next question, additional storage and support areas do you need? We said this sort of just, that came out in the rest of the conversation that we had. Do we now prepare complete hot meals for some of these activities? Rarely. I know Kim used to get together with her friend and y'all would cook that meal for us for the week dinner, but that's sort of gone by the wayside. So once in a while. Am I good now? Okay. So then we moved on to part of question five, is additional commercial food service equipment needed? And we said yes. We said just right off the top, a commercial quality dishwasher. And just to help you understand what that means, it's waist high, you load it up, you push a crank, 5 minutes later you can empty it and push the crank again. So it's really fast. So you wouldn't need more than one of those. It's just, it's a really quick thing. And then you would have to support that with the new hot water in your room. So a walking cooler or something, because we said to have larger functions, it would be nice. You could keep the flowers in it that currently take up one whole refrigerator, that kind of thing. A freezer of some sort. And I sort of explained that, but just the idea of quicker cleanup, accommodate larger groups, and the idea of a freezer is working into a ministry and outreach that we could do some food prep at the kitchen and have meals on hand to give people who need them. So that was our idea. We also said we may eventually need a larger venting or hood system. If you're actually going to cook in the kitchen and get commercial quality, you're going to have a vent system that supports that. And I'll just say this also, we would probably need new storage facilities. Our kitchen cabinets would have to go. You'd have to have something you can mop under. You'd have to be certifiable with what we'd go with. Next 10 to 15 years, what's the largest number we would need to plan seating tables for a meal? We said, you know, it depends on how our church grows. But 200, 300, 400, or 500, knowing that some activities are going to exceed our church population. If you have a big wedding, you're going to have more people than maybe go to our church. Just depends on what that is. Okay. Number 7, round rectangular tables used. We use both, but we just suggest that we might start orienting ourselves more toward the rectangular ones because we feel like it sort of brings about more community as you're talking. It's easier to sit and talk at rectangular tables. The circular one, someone mentioned, you know, when their family comes, their whole family takes up a circular table. So when you're new, bringing your family, you may not even interact with anybody in the church because you sort of camped out on that table. So we like the idea of the rectangular ones. Is the stage area desirable? That was a big yes. We really got excited about that idea and came up with ideas that were mentioned there, like VBS. And so we had just the idea that some perhaps along with a lower ceiling room, something that would be more intimate so that if you had, like, say, an awards presentation or maybe a local Christian school who could come here and use it for a graduation ceremony, that it wouldn't feel empty because you only had maybe 20 or 30 people, but you still had the stage and the ability to have that kind of a presentation. So we had everything from wedding receptions to Girl Scout ceremonies, small luncheons. It would be easier to decorate. The idea is to not have something that has cinder blocks, but that something's a little bit more just attractive feeling. And so then down there in the 8 other activities that we might use a stage room for would include a puppet ministry. We talked about hosting youth groups who might be coming to the area who are traveling through on the way to the beach or maybe going to do local missions, that we could actually have a room where we could split up girls and gals and let them stay overnight. Something like that. We also talked about warming shelters. I know churches closer to Charlotte participate in something called Room at the Inn. And so it's a place for people who are homeless to come and stay in a big church fellowship hall and you provide meal and a place to stay when it's below freezing. So we talked about maybe being able to connect into some of those community networks that are already out there, and our church be a part of that. Community plays and musicals, even if we don't produce them, that if we have the space, then we could provide that as a way to serve our community. We talked about having some kind of coffee house type activities that we might do on a monthly basis, something like that, where you could have game tables and you could have food and refreshments. And again, it would feel a little bit more intimate than our current facility over there. Our sort of big idea, if we actually built a new facility, would be to think of it as a community center, a place where this community would have as a hub. And they would think, oh, let's see what's going on at church this week. Everything from Bible studies, dance classes, after school programs that came up more than once, art classes, you could do tutoring, you could do counseling, so that you have this sort of big facility with a stage area, and then you could have some classroom space that could be multitasking throughout the week, depending on what you're doing with it. The idea of, you know, maybe in a workshop area with some tools and someone there to facilitate, so if I don't have a bandsaw that I know I need to use one, there's a way to use it. I don't know. It's just a thought. What support spaces would we need for something like that? We would need storage closets, removable partitions, extra tables and chairs, dedicated audiovisual equipment in an area. We would suggest bathrooms with showers if we're going to do anything like hosting overnight groups or having a warming shelter or anything like that. And then something that came up again was a washer and dryer that's here on site. Right now, we send home linens with people after meals and things like that. They don't always come back. So, yeah, they would have something here that we could use. Is there a need, this is number 9, for an expanded or improved fellowship space for meals and other gatherings? And we said, yes, if we're growing numbers, we're going to need more space to host our larger groups, like the Mission Conference Weekend Fellowship Centers. But now, even now, sometimes we're pulling out extra tables or we're sort of waiting on a big weekend for people to get up and leave so we can have a place to eat. Number 12, are we all ready? 10, lost it. Okay, the needs for senior high, junior high youth groups. We had 2 youth in our group, and then we had, I'm sorry, I don't have my glasses down, but Amy Lynn was there that night, so she was our very involved youth mom. And they basically said they feel like our current youth rooms are good. They don't think we need bigger rooms. They sort of like the idea of sort of getting stuffed in and being a little bit intimate. So even if our youth group waxes and wanes, sometimes it gets big and sometimes it gets small. But even if we had more people coming, you just squeeze in. The need she did mention was maybe some more audiovisual equipment to make it a little bit easier to just interact with singing or if somebody's putting something up on a PowerPoint or whatever, because our current room is sort of long. And so that was just something that came out for that. If we want to expand into a regular sports ministry, and y'all mentioned that before, then we started talking about the idea that we need a regulation-sized gym. Evidently, ours currently is not the right size to do full-court basketball or even full-court volleyball. So if we want to have that as something that we offer to our community, we would have to expand that. And then, like y'all said, to have the space on the sides and seat people, because right now it's not safe. If you're a spectator, you're going to become a participant Christian because you're going to get hit. And I don't know about the soccer field. And we didn't really talk about it. We talked more about the idea of a gymnasium. Point D, if we are going to offer an after-school program, which we feel like is a felt need in the community, we would have to upgrade some of them to meet child code. Whatever that is. I know there's probably more alarm systems and things like that. I don't know. I just know it would be there. Question?
Well, in our group, we had talked about like a preschool like during the day, and I believe we had talked about the idea of a preschool in our group, and I believe Jesse has said that as long as we stay under 4 hours a day, mm-hmm. don't serve meals. I don't think we, is that correct? We wouldn't have to do anything else with our current rooms. Correct.
Okay.
We're so we wouldn't have
to. I think a egress is probably a good thing too. Bad idea is you don't need to become licensed if you keep it under 4 hours and don't serve meals.
Is that a total hours? So, if, for instance, if we did a preschool and added an after school program, does that put us over the limit, or is that?
It's for the individual kids. One kid probably shouldn't.
You wouldn't have a preschool if we did an after school program anyway, so that would probably. So, it's per child. Is it your child? How long the child's there? Okay. So, maybe we wouldn't. We would need, and again, we mentioned this too, if you're going to have multiple use in the rooms, we would need more storage cabinets and things so that you could have dedicated spaces for a preschool versus a Sunday school versus an after school. I've worked in those situations and everybody gets real territorial, so you need to keep, and rightly so, you need to keep your material separate. And that we need more bathrooms. If we're going to have people here for a long period of time, we've got to have more toilets. Just because, especially if you're going to have children, you're going to have more facilities. The question 11, does the name Cheryl Morrell adequately describe who we are? And we pretty much all said no. And there were different reasons for it. The Morrell part was confusing. How to say share is confusing to some people. I'm still not sure if I say it right. And just that it doesn't really locate us anywhere, and it doesn't say a lot about who we are. We didn't come up with any great ideas for a different name, but we did mention that. But we didn't think it really did its job. So number 12, this is what our group got sort of interesting. What additional programs and information would you like to suggest for consideration? So we had about 20 or 30 minutes more to talk after we'd gone through our first 11 questions, and out of that came our following main point, and I'll get emotional about it. So y'all can read it. And I didn't say this, I just subscribe. And somebody else said this, that our church members need to get out of our comfort zones and do the activities we are prompted to do now. We don't need any more space to expand our ministry and our outreach now. It doesn't make sense to think that if we have a bigger building, we're going to do more if we aren't doing it now. So the picture that we developed in that conversation was that wouldn't it be great in a few years' time to be just begging for more room because we're doing so much here that we need the room rather than thinking that by constructing something, we're just going to fill it up. So we really talked about that. So then we came up with all sorts of ideas that we could do in our current facilities the way they are. And so I've got that list there, and y'all can all read, but these were things that people in the group said, we know this is a need now. So Liz brought up, you know, there are young moms in the crisis pregnancy center who need mentors, and they need a church home, and we need to reach out to them. There's an ever-growing population that needs ESL help, and you know, the children are getting into school, but it's the adults who could use that kind of an outreach. And we have retired missionaries in the area who'd be glad to show us how to do it and set us up. We just need to do it. We could start now to maintain a food pantry for ourselves or for community. We can start a singles ministry for local post-college age. That's a real needy group, and it's hard to identify, but we have families who have grown children who are coming back home or in the area, and they need a place to fellowship. We have children in our area who need a father figure. You don't have one. And so there's that need. Somebody talked about the puppet ministry that was sort of before my time, but evidently we've had one. We have some supplies on hand. If somebody feels led, it's certainly what's nice about something like that is you minister to the people who are doing it as much as you do to the audience who sees it. We can have some more hand things that are popular. We can have community nights now. You know, set up games, set up activities, invite the community in, figure out what the felt needs are, and go after those. We talked about having group cooking times. We could do it with our kitchen now. It's not perfect, but it's not any probably worse than anybody's kitchen at home that's right now. So get together and cook and have a fellowship, and then load up that freezer with meals for our community or to take home to people in our neighborhoods. We talked about the idea, because we really love the idea of having like a place for the bride to get ready and things like that. But even before we do that, we can change our nursery on an as-needed basis. We can take out the little kid stuff, put in grown-up things, put in mirrors. make it nice for somebody who's going to use that. Just, we could start a ministry that's more regular to the assisted living across the road. We haven't, look at M. All of our VBS people cannot do it this next year. They're either working full-time or they're having babies. So, we need somebody now, because it takes starting now to organize VBS, to come up with a theme and put that together, but we need that. To start thinking again how to minister to our after-school population, which we have one, I'm not very directional, but somewhere there's a bunch of apartments around here, and there are children in there who probably need, you know, that we could do that. Point 13, we may at some point want to think about hiring a full-time, I don't know if that would be pastor or director, but someone who could organize and facilitate that, but we don't need that person if we're not willing to do it. And then point 14, things that we could do now that we felt like wouldn't require a major building project, mostly upgrading kitchen appliances, having extra audiovisual equipment on hand. We even talked about a portable staging unit. We really like the idea of having it someplace other than here to do activities. But if we continue to use our current multi-purpose room, maybe have something constructed that could be set up and moved down that would give you that staging area without committing to a new building right away. So questions on that?
One of the reasons we never stayed there,
I
think
you're all
I'm not a big microphone person.
I'm
one of the reasons we didn't stay at either of those churches is because it got to where it felt very informal. You don't know the people that go anymore, you don't get to talk to them, and then it just doesn't feel homey and family like the church does now. So I personally am not going to service it. Just because I feel like it would lead us to being more of a less homey and more. Yeah.
I don't remember what year it was that we went to two services, but I remember a big build up getting to that point and all the discussion we had and everything. I don't remember how long we had the two services, and also, I also don't know what was the main reason we didn't do it anymore.
Behind it was staffing. We had the pastors, but we didn't have the musicians. We didn't have a lot of volunteers for the sound to get that running and make sure that all the things like nursery, all the things that go into 11 o'clock service, you have to double that. And so eventually we just got so tired and couldn't keep up. We just said, we got to cut this. That was really what it came down to. It really came down to manpower. Yeah. Somebody else had it.
I'm sure y'all follow the idea of commitment and more students. I would rather have one service, one group of people at the same time. We had to spread them out into the multi-purpose room or something like that. The video feed. I mean, I'm all sure go sit in there as opposed to splitting them up. Yeah, we did talk about possibly considering more than two services, but I think the general feel was everybody liked the one service. And some of the things that we did mention, of course, the video feed, where, you know, to have extra seating or televised projection in there. But also, we talked about maybe redesigning some of the pew layout in here. I think it felt right. And we've actually got room to rearrange these a little bit more to get more seating in here if we have to. And then just do the seating in the back, but I think overall we've got to really like the one service.
Yeah, if we were to do, Kim, did you have something you want to say? Okay. If we were to do any sort of rearranging of the pews, it turns into a total remodel of the sanctuary, because you have, because you're moving the pews together, which means you're going to have to replace the carpet because there's going to be holes from the old. I know these. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But the thought is if we renovate and we get, you know, we could add another maybe even two pews up there. You can take the stage and chop it off and move the pulpit back, give us a little bit of room. But even if you were to do all those things, you probably only gain 50, 60 seats, which in terms of comfort, that's really only half of that, because people would like to, you know, sit a little wider and have their space. I mean, we're Americans. We have personal space, and so we need to figure out how to do that well. So if we were to do that, that sounds great. That's an enormous amount of money to get a few more seats. So we tossed that around. Maybe there's an art click around here that maybe could help us on that.
Okay, I'm sorry to do the Trump-Clinton debate, but I'm taking the other view. I really like the idea of two services. And I saw during the 9 months that we did the two services, this church grew tremendously. And a lot of young people came in. We had so much going on. And we can keep it from being like two congregations. If all of us, you know, are careful to go to the fellowship time, meet with people, you know, it means a longer day for some of us. We were in the choir, and we were doing the praise dance. Or I was here at 8:30, I didn't teach Sunday school, then I stayed for singing choir or something twice, you know. But it was really a great experience for this church and growth. And I think you pointed out earlier, a lot of those people left when we no longer had a contemporary type service. So I think, you know, style of worship comes into this, and we didn't really discuss that.
Younger families like myself would like to get up early because the kids are already out, to bring them to church. It is a little bit convenient for families with kids.
I was going to say I like the two services, not for long term, But if we fill up this room and then we fill it up again, why can't we take that second congregation and go plant another church here in the community and just fill the community of churches? So one congregation, and then we fill that up, open up a second congregation, and when we get enough to plant a church here in the community, do you just do that?
We're certainly talking about that. It's getting to a point where we grow our numbers because the community is growing already, that our numbers would grow to a certain point that we would be able to bring us back down to a certain level and just keep reproducing that. So in a sense, we become a mega church, but we certainly don't look like it. So we're planting all over the place. I mean, there's plenty of places to plant. We have to be strategic. Our presbytery is one of its main goals, is to be strategic in where we put churches. And if we were to plant a church over in North Carolina somewhere, we could have the boundaries redrawn to where it would still be part of our presbytery, those types of things. RTS, this is a little quick plug. RTS just started a concentration on church planting, and Dean Faulkner, is that right, Alan? Dean Faulkner, okay. Anyway, there's a guy, his name is Mr. So-and-so, and he's at RTS, and he is coming in November to amend the covenant meeting, which is being held at Bethel. So if we wanted to go to that, that would be helpful. He's not doing it, but it's RTS that is coming to do it. Yeah. No, it's not my recruiter. That's right. What's that? 2 minutes left on the CD? Okay. Well, yeah, I think somebody's question. That would be fine if it burns out. Any other comments on the two services or one multi? Yes.
I have a question for Greg.
Sure.
Is there, do you know off the top of your head, the difference in seating? Is there a difference in seating the amount between a long pew and doing individual chairs? Does individual chairs seat more people?
Good question. Generally speaking, we get people squeezed in a little bit more with pews. However, we don't like squeeze. So if we have a chair that has a designated barrier to it, sometimes we can say, hey, I one person, one chair, and you get people squeezed that way. But you technically can fit more people on a pew than you can in those chairs. I don't know percentage right now, but I do know when we calculate seating for a church with pews, the code says 18 inches, and I'm not 18 inches wide, most people aren't. So we use 22 inches wide to calculate seating capacity, which is closer to the dimension of one of the chairs. So we try to calculate the number for what is realistic versus what the code says. We have to accommodate both of those things. But I think you'll still get, if you can kind of encourage people to squeeze in and slide over, I think you'll still get more people. Partly because you can have if you have little kids in small space, that type of thing.
Does anybody have any questions for me, Alan, and Greg? Anything you guys want to know? Any follow up things?
I was going to give you some follow-up. So what we're going to do, first of all, you guys have done a fabulous job of coming and talking these things out and coming to some consensus. So thank you for doing that. That's going to give us and has given us a lot of information to help guide the process of kind of creating a roadmap for long-range planning for what the church does with facilities. And it helps probably the administration and leadership talk about ministries that might be considered for the future. So we're going to take the information that you've given us. And now, first of all of you leaders that spoke, we all sent you a written copy of that, your remarks and your comments. So please, if you'll have it tonight, how about scan it or type it up or whatever, and shoot an email to Aaron or to Richard or and they can send it to me. So we're going to take this information and we're going to create we're going to meet with your committee and we're going to talk to those guys about setting priorities. So you guys have your long range, you got numbers that you can secure consensus. It's kind of the body that I've already met with a couple times to guide this process. And those folks are going to help look at the priorities that have come out of this. You've come to a good consensus, but now we have to kind of set those priorities and what looks good for short term, long term, and we in distance. And then we write an architectural program out of that information, and we're able to see by putting square footage numbers to those ministries what we can accommodate, what we can accomplish within this facility here. So I have a written architectural plan before we ever draw a single line. We haven't been asked to draw a line just yet, so if we are, then we will essentially take that architectural program to create efficiencies within the existing space and create better adjacencies, maybe reuse the classrooms better, reuse some admin space better, whatever it might be. And then we'll make recommendations for what areas need to grow in footprint or in square footage. So our first priority is to find out what we can do better here within this footprint. And then use that information about our dreams for growth to look at what needs to happen on this campus. So part of our charge is to look at, hey, we've got a new property, and that's a wonderful opportunity for the church. So what's the best way to use that in this facility altogether? So, yeah, we'll talk about that. Any other questions? Thank you. Yeah.
The question is, has the section thought about one or two services? And I know we've thought about it, we've kind of chit-chatted about it, but there's never been a real, okay, we're going to sit down and we're going to really discuss this. We haven't had that. The only other time we did that was back when we actually moved the two services. But there's always little chit-chats here and there, but nothing really of substantial value to say we're going this way or we're not. It's just... Well, she asked if the amount of people that come on Sunday is X amount, does that then push you to make a decision? Well, that's actually where we are now. We have to do something. We either stay this way, which can happen. We can. We can just stay where we are, and those who come in, they either need to fit or they will go somewhere else. Our thought is, and I think that the consensus of the congregation is that the gospel is being proclaimed here, both word and hopefully deed, and I think we see that in a lot of different places. And we want people to hear that. We want them to be changed by the gospel here. They can be changed in other places, definitely, but we want them to be changed here because certainly with a Reformed perspective, we believe that is the way people can really embrace the scriptures and Christ and his wonderful sovereignty over us. So we're at that point. We have had a meeting. Jogging my memory, so thank you, Amy, and I'll go to you, Ashley. That we have had a meeting, and maybe I hope this isn't speaking out of turn, but we've asked, what's the number? And we were uncomfortable with that conversation, but we needed to have it. What's the number that we would be mildly comfortable with? Would it be 165 on Sunday, which is what we have now, or do we want to have a number that could increase, that would keep the DNA of the church intact, but still reach more? And the number hovered around a lot of what the church has already said. We went around the room, and again, it was uncomfortable. We went around the room and said, "What's your number?" And we went around, and we had some on the kind of stick around where we are. Some maybe a little bit bigger, maybe 500 plus in there. But generally it was a happy medium in the middle. That's where we were thinking. And neither spectrum was hostile for it. It wasn't like, no, we're not, you know. It was just a light discussion. So I don't know if that helps. Amy, does it? Okay. Ashley.
Sanctuary, and we build a sanctuary that fits, I don't know, 300 or 400 people.
services? No. How much church of 800 people?
Great question. Yeah. If the goal is to go to two services so we can get to one, well, then the goal of the one service to go to two services so we can go even bigger. Now, the idea is really, for me, Aaron Morgan, is this, is that we are a church planting church. And you can't do that. You can do anything with God, all things are possible, but logistically speaking, you cannot church plant healthily with the amount of people we have now. And what I mean by that is not only spiritual maturity and health, but financial health. So you get to a certain point where you have another pastor on board, or potentially on board, that would then take a group somewhere and plant. So we would have a facility that would get us to a point where we would be healthy spiritually and financially to go plant, and then bring us back down to 100 and 190 or something like that. And then you grow to 350 or 300 or 280 or something, and then you keep chopping yourself off at the knees in order to keep growing. And I will say, and Gray has been part of Uptown PCA, which does this all the time, it creates a healthy unrest among the people. They're constantly unrested, or unrest, because there's always, the gospel needs to go. The gospel needs to go. There's always that feeling of, okay, we haven't arrived. And if I could be so bold, I feel like there's some of that. Before this growth happened, I've been here for 11 years or so, I feel like there was a somewhat of a sentiment of, we've got it. We're healthy, spiritually mature. But now the growth's coming in and causing us to say, okay, whoa, what are we doing? You know, so that healthy unrest is, I think, the idea behind the church planting church. We'll continue that. Grant, I don't know if you want to add any more to that from your experience. And I hope that answers your question.
I will say, on the two service perspective, the way Uptown does it, and we're actually on our like fourth or fifth. We just hired our most recent church planting pastor, and we're on the fourth or fifth generation of that. And what our strategy has been is our sanctuary seats, I don't know, maybe it's 280 or 300, something like that, maybe. And we have an early service, and it's the, right now the early service goes on and on all the time. Our Sunday school classes are more of an elective type class. It's a topical class rather than an age group class. So you can go to Sunday school either hour. But we are, whenever we do get to the vision of a new plant, that early service becomes kind of that area where those folks coalesce as a new church body. And so that early service becomes the group that gathers and prepares themselves to be planted at that point. And I think their model is to send out about 50 or so, 50 families and things, something like that. But anyway, it's a neat unrest. He talks about the kind of neat gospel unrest, and it is. And you see friends go, and it's difficult to see friends go, but you're still in the same town, and you still get together with them sometimes. But it's a really neat, it's created a neat group of sister churches that get together on occasion for various things. Not as a large group, but we see each other a lot. So. It's a really neat culture, absolutely.
Right. The distance-wise, what's the furthest away from the main congregation you plant the church?
Prague, Czech Republic.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have one in South Charlotte. We have one in Nodon, and we have one in East Charlotte. So it's really. To some degree, two of them are urban churches, and two of them are kind of ring suburban churches. And I'm trying to think if anybody knows, Hope Church is the only one that has like bought a building. Everybody else is looking to leasing space to do those churches. So, and Hope leased their space for a long time, but they eventually bought something. And then families will go between the churches sometimes. You'll see them move to this church for some reason, and they'll move back at some point. You'll see people that go out and help plant that church, and then they might come back to the mothership, and because in their family, you have young kids who want to go to a certain place, or get the kids out of the house, and I can come back to a different place. I was part of that church that, or group that went to research the one in Prague that's on that my wife, so that one kind of near my heart.
Any others? Okay, well, I'm sure Greg said this. Thank you. This was really, really good, really helpful. He's going to be hard at work now, trying to assemble the data and try to get that data tangible so we can look at it. And then, but that doesn't mean your work is done. There's two things that I want you to be doing. There's one, to be continually asking and talking about these things, because those are important. Because some things that may not have been said today are actually very important, but they didn't get brought up yet. So begin talking about those things and tell the session, tell the diaconate those things. And the other is to pray. Ask the Lord to make you uncomfortable with what He wants to be done. If we know anything about the providence of God in the life of Joseph, it's that comfort is not on God's radar. Sometimes we're fairly comfortable here, but maybe that's going to come to an end in terms of how God wants to move His church. And we need to pray that the Lord would do that. In any capacity, that means someone who has been born and raised here now leaves and goes from the church. Now that's kind of shocking, but that could happen. And it could mean that that Alan goes and plants that church. It may mean that I leave and plant the church. I mean, all these things, it's the unrest. Anything can happen if the gospel is the motive. And so hopefully we'll be softened to that. So, but thank you for your work. Really, this is 2 hours last time, and I'm here, and a lot of work, a lot of thinking, and especially the secretaries and the moderators of those meetings, and now gathering the data. It's been really, really good work and a lot of good feedback. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the gospel that has compelled us to do things that are, the things that we just wouldn't think about. Because our vision is different now as we look at the gospel and how people are dying, they're lost, and they need the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. Help us to see all the avenues in which the gospel can go forward. Help us as a body to do that well here. Again, we ask for wisdom, and please pour it out on us abundantly by your grace and for the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great night. Goodbye. Thank you, Christ.